Now we're looking at Psalm 133. The psalm has only three verses, and it's probably a familiar psalm to you. If not, it will be after this morning, God willing. Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3. My Bible says it's a psalm of David. David writes to us, brethren, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. So God, brethren, says to us, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." God bless the reading of His Word. Oh God, help us this day. Help me to preach Your Word, I beg You. Come by Your Spirit, already here, already manifest in the singing of hymns and in the prayers, oh God. Please, Lord, manifest Yourself in the preaching of the Word. May we worship You in spirit and in truth, oh God. Get honor and glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. David penned this psalm. Your Bible probably has a notation at the beginning. Mine says a song of degrees of David. I've been reading a lot about David in the last couple of weeks. I'm in 1 and 2 Samuel, and he's all through there. It's wonderful, wonderful reading. Some learned or Bible scholars say that David wrote about this brethren dwelling together in unity. You know, we can examine David's life, and we can think of times that maybe he would have been inspired to write these words from the circumstances around him. A commentary that I read in said that a lot of Bible scholars say that he penned this psalm, and we don't know when or what the occasion was, but it's possibly, they say, that when he became king of a unified Israel. He says, "Blessed, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." When David first became king, Saul, you know, was his predecessor, and Saul was killed by the Philistines, Saul, Jonathan, and other sons of Saul. After that, at some point in time, David became ruler over Judah, probably Judah and Benjamin, but not the entire nation of Israel. There were many who hung on to Saul, were loyal to Saul and his descendants. And some people put forward one of Saul's sons to be king over Israel. And so David was reigning over Judah, and maybe it was Judah and Benjamin. Typically, those two tribes stuck together. And after Saul's death, some various things happened in time past, but at some point in time, the men of Israel, the other 10 tribes, came and they said, in my words, "You're our king. Will you be our king?" And they anointed him their king. And then the nation, the people were in unity. And so some scholars suggest that maybe this was the occasion. As I read on in that commentary, there were other times in David's life that people suggested maybe he was referring to. One time, you know, Absalom, his own son, stole the hearts of the people, and David had to actually flee for his life from Jerusalem. And Absalom was later killed, and then David returned to Jerusalem, and there was unity again. And some say that was the occasion. We don't know. But we do know this, brethren, that it is good and pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. And in that commentary, the ending of the paragraph said this about how to apply this and what this is referring to. Obviously, it's referring to some time or times in David's life and his life experience. But the commentators also said it most assuredly applies to believers in the gospel times. That's us. It applies to us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, the Word of God says, for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, instruction in how to live, want to live in unity and in love, brethren. So our lesson today is in thinking about from the time I discovered the typo until time for me to stand before you, I was thinking about these words and how they may apply. And all I have to do, brethren, is look around here and look at you and observe you. And I see, brethren, that these scriptures apply to you. You are dwelling together in unity. This is about the fourth or fifth or sixth time of late that I've come here to supply. And as I was thinking of these verses yesterday, I wanted to point out to you, I wanted to share with you that as I come here and see you, I come from the outside to supply. I'm here one day, for half a day roughly, but I observe you, I look at you. I see your joy. I see your love for one another. I see your joy in the Lord. I see you in unity in this place. And so for that reason, brethren, these scriptures are very, very appropriate for this morning, despite any typo. Despite that, David saw unity when the people came before him and said, "We holdouts, we now join in unison with those who are loyal to you, and you're our king." David saw that, and he saw unity, and I see it here. And so, brethren, dwelling together in unity involves your service to God and your love for one another. Let's now look at these three verses, and I just want to take them in order and make some comments about each one. First of all, David says, "Behold." That's the first word in this psalm. I think that I have said something like this to you before. I'm not sure. But when there is a "behold" in the Bible, every word, every phrase, as Brother Richie was saying in Bible study this morning, every punctuation mark, every word is important. Every phrase, every sentence, it's all important. But when God says, "Behold," he's saying, brethren, get this, understand this, think of this, digest this, taste this, understand it. Behold. Behold what? Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. There, brethren, is the principle. There's the statement that he makes. And then the next two verses, he describes it. He says, it's like this. It's kin to this. It's like this. When brethren are dwelling together, this is how good it is. This is how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's good. It's a good thing. It's a beneficial thing. It's good. It's pleasant. It's pleasant. Jan and I, we're still honeymooning. We've been married 5 years now, but this past week I was at my mom's, and the week before she was at her daughter's, the ones that have the twins and the 2-year-old, and we say to one another often, we just do what we have to do. We can't go all the time when the other goes, but it's good and it's pleasant when we're back united together. And I got back yesterday from my mom's, and I go there, my siblings and I go once a month, my brother and I. My sister goes more often. I probably told you this too, but anyway, it was my turn to go. And Jan and I had been apart since Thursday, and we reunited yesterday around noon, and it's good and pleasant to get back together. And so, it's good and pleasant, brethren. There are things in our lives, in our own lives, individual lives, that we see as good and pleasant, and they're blessings to us. But the greatest of those, brethren, is to be dwelling together in unity in God's house. I was thinking of our worship in song, how we are singing the same words and we're thinking the same thoughts, or certainly similar thoughts that come to our mind as we read the words, as we put the words to music, and as we lift up our voices to God. I looked out at you and you're singing same words that I'm singing in unison. That is to say, brethren, we all have that common thing, that thing in common. The glorious fact that Christ died for us, that God chose us to be His own, and Christ died to make us His own. That, brethren, we have in common. We're in unison in that. And how good and pleasant that is. I say from time to time, when as I stand in the pulpit and I'm preaching and I'm, in a sense, struggling and I want to please God, I want to do His work, but then sometimes God just says to me, the Holy Spirit says to me, you are where you are doing what I want you to do at this very moment. And brethren, that's good and that's pleasant. And when you are in the house of God together as God's children, singing and praising and hearing the gospel preached, brethren, that's good and pleasant. But you know, it's better. David, as I spoke those words just now, I said, that's good and that's pleasant. I thought, that's an understatement. What else can I say about it? And then it occurs to me that David says, let me elaborate on that. So we come to verse 2. He says, it's like this. This is how good it is. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. When you dwell together, brethren, dwelling together in the New Testament church sense means you're spending time together, you're worshiping together, you're studying together, and you're working together. A lot of work has gone into Vacation Bible School already, and there's a lot more to be done. But God's already blessing it. I can look around and tell. And my prayer is that God will bless it, and I'm convinced that He will. We're to train up our children in the way that they should go. We're to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's exactly what you're doing. And God bless you for it. And so it's good and pleasant to dwell together in unity. But those words don't, just those two words don't adequately convey how good and how pleasant it is. So David says, it's like this. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. Now, what's he referring to there? Do you remember in Exodus how God gave very specific instructions for the construction of the tabernacle? Do you remember that? The covering on the outside, the things that held the thing up, gold, the veil, the instruments, the altar of incense, the Ark of the Covenant, the incense, the showbread, all of that, God gave very specific instructions. And then came instructions on anointing Aaron as the high priest. And David refers to that. He said, brethren, dwelling together in unity is like the precious ointment upon the head of Aaron. The precious ointment. Now, if I ask you to describe that for me, if I said, what were the ingredients? How was that ointment made? Maybe you could tell me. I couldn't until I read about it. And here it is, Exodus 30. If you want to turn there with me, please, you may. Exodus 30, verse 22. This is, again, in Exodus, and God is giving instructions here. And right now, He's giving the instructions about this precious ointment. Interesting to read about it. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Moses at this moment is on Mount Sinai. The children of Israel are in the wilderness. God's given them the law, the ceremonial law and the moral law. But here He's giving part of the ceremonial law, how to worship Me. And He says, Moses, take thou also unto thee principal spices. And here they are, pure myrrh. And where He says 500 shekels, that's the weight. A shekel weighed, according to my research, about a half an ounce. So 500 shekels would be 250 ounces, roughly. I added it all up. It looks like it's about 50 or 60 pounds of spices that He's going to have when He does what God tells Him to do. The first spice, brethren, was pure myrrh, an aromatic substance. It's a resin from a tree in the Middle East. Sweet cinnamon. Half as much of that. Then He says, sweet calamus. That's in verse 23. And then He says in verse 24, cassia. And then the last of all, verse 24, all olive. Now, I don't know that I've ever been in the presence of any of those spices. But they sure do cinnamon. I like cinnamon. You've seen cinnamon on top of an apple pie maybe or some other things. That smells good, doesn't it? Tastes good. All of these spices were very special, and they were to be combined together, crushed or beaten to a fine substance, and then maybe the oil olive added. And then the commentator said they were then put on heat and cooked down, boiled, so that the concentrated, it's a concentrated substance at this point, which is an oil. God goes on to say, make it after the work of the apothecary. And then he says, anoint Aaron, the first high priest, with that. I don't know what it smelled like, but I bet it smelled good. It was a precious ointment. As I was thinking about that, brethren, I thought of this. My wife takes a tub bath just about every night, every single night. And a year or two ago, I was standing in the pulpit somewhere, and I don't know what the context was, but I said something about the oil that she put on after her bath didn't smell so good. And she spoke to me about it afterwards, and me sharing that with the congregation. I don't know where I was, but she let me know it. But brethren, in about the last 6 months, I don't know what the substance is she uses, but it permeates the whole house, and it smells so good. It's a precious oil to me. It's a precious ointment that she puts on her skin after her bath. And it's pleasant. It's good. It gives me pleasure. And I think I was in the office last night, and I began to smell it, which is two or three rooms around from the bathroom. And I just yelled out, it smells, sure smells good in here. It's a precious odor. In the New Testament, brethren, a woman by the name of Mary anointed the feet of Jesus. And that's on that occasion, I think, is where one of or more of the apostles said, why are you wasting this? We could have used this money for this expensive, precious ointment and fed the poor, given it to the poor. And Jesus said, let her alone. She's come before my death. These are my words, I'm paraphrasing, to anoint my body. And in that connection, in that narrative account, it says that the something like, well, it's John 12:3. Let me read it to you. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 12:3. This is his account of it. It says this. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And listen, this is what we came after. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Can you visualize that? Can you almost smell it? A work that woman did, a work of love, an offering, a sacrifice of love, a labor of love, brethren, produced, brethren, a wonderful odor in that whole house. There's a sermon all in that, but we just go on, keep going. But brethren, dwelling together in unity, laboring together in unity, as you're doing, is like the precious ointment. It makes the rest of us and those involved in it as well blessed. It gives us a blessing. You as you put forth the labor. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. That ointment that we read about in Exodus is what David is referring to. He said, it's that good. It's that good. It's that sweet. It's that odoriferous. It's that pleasant. That dwelling together, laboring together in unity. Aaron's beard. And he says, the ointment went down to the skirts of his garments. Well, Jan and I were talking about on the way over here, we're talking about the different versions of the Bible. King James Version, New International Version, so on. And I know as you all read in Bible study, you have a different version than I have. Your version probably is good or better than mine. I just say to Jan, I'm too old to change. I'm sticking with the King James. I'm not criticizing yours. That's just me. Your Bible may say, it may or may not say the skirts of his garments, but when I read that, I think of the skirt, something long down here, and it ran all the way down. Well, the commentators say that it means the collar, The hole in Aaron's robe, the priest had special attire that God also gave instructions for. And it says it ran down his beard, and his beard would be on his collar probably. So that's what they're saying. It wouldn't be real pleasant to be soaked with the oil. A little is really good, but too much it may not be so good. But it means, according to the commentators, that it came on, they anointed his head, it got in his beard, and got on his neck and shoulders here. That may be what it means. In any event, it was a very pleasant experience, and dwelling together in unity is like that. And then in verse 3, brethren, he says, also, it's like David, he says, as he's writing this, I don't know what he's thinking, but maybe he's thinking, you know, I said it's good and pleasant, and I said it's like that oil that the recipe is in Exodus, but I got to say some more about it. It's like the dew of Hermon. That's a mountain in the nation of Israel, or a mountain range, I believe. And as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. The dew. The dew covers. It covers, doesn't it? Most of you, I'm guessing, live out here somewhere nearby. You live out in the country. But the dew's in town also. But it's particularly noticeable to me out in the country where you got a lawn and you got trees around, and you come out in the morning time, and I like to get up early, and a lot of times I know y'all get up early and you go to work, but if you're walking to your car or you're walking across the yard, and there's dew out there. You can't avoid it, can you? It's there. It's going to at least get on your shoes. It's going to cover your boots or your shoes. It's going to do that if you walk across the yard. There have been times when really, really, really dry weather, very low humidity, when I've come out and walked on bare dirt and there's just dust, no moisture at all. That's a miserable time. It makes me appreciate the dew that you walk across the yard and it covers your feet. The dew covers. The covers everything in its path. The blessings of joy, brethren, the blessings of living together in unity fall upon those who dwell together in unity, who work together in unity and in love. The blessings upon them fall like the dew. It's impossible, brethren, for it not to happen. God blesses those who dwell together in unity. Dew settles dust. Unity settles differences. Dew covers every surface. Unity covers all sins or slights as we live in a family, a church family together. We're all part of God's church family, all members of one body, members of one body. I had a verse I wanted to read about that. Let me see if I can find it. It's in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12. Would you turn there with me? 1 Corinthians 12:12. Dwelling together in unity. We're all members of one body. And I am pleased and blessed to say that as someone who comes from the outside, so to speak, not a member of the church, as I observe you, I see that you're dwelling together in unity. That is not the case in every church that I visit or preach in. And that's obvious also. So keep it up, brethren. Verse 12 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." And I think what he means there by Christ is the church of Jesus Christ. We're one body. We're the body of Christ. That's what we are. But there are many members of us. We're all different to a degree, but brethren, we all have the same God and Father in heaven and the same Savior. And hopefully the same goal. And that's giving glory to God. For by one Spirit, verse 13, are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, we are one. For the body is not one member, but many. He goes on, and I'll just go to verse 20. But now are they many members, yet but one body. That familiar, the verses above are, if the arm say, I'm not the foot, therefore I'm not part of the body, or the foot say about I'm not the arm, whatever, you understand it. Paul is saying everyone is important. Different gifts, different callings, but one body. When that body is functioning like it ought, we're dwelling together in unity. One suffers, we all suffer. One is honored, we all rejoice. The dew covers, brethren, and God, that is God's blessing falling upon those who dwell together in unity. Hermon, Zion, those are literal places, but spiritually speaking, brethren, the church of Jesus Christ is the body of Christ, and we're to dwell together, many members, one body. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. God commands His blessing, brethren, as the dew falls and covers everything. God commands His blessing, brethren, on those who dwell together in unity. He gives life forevermore. He gives abundant life, and He gives everlasting life. While you live together, brethren, dwell together in unity, God gives abundance of blessings. He manifests Himself in your services, in the preaching of the gospel, in the prayers, in song, in Vacation Bible School. He manifests Himself. He shows His pleasure. It's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom life when we're obedient. It falls upon us. He blesses His people. He sends His Spirit. He opens His Word to us. He makes us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He gives us life abundant. And brethren, we praise Him because He gives us life everlasting after this life. He gives us a foretaste, brethren, of the life that we will enjoy with Him in eternity as we dwell together in unity. I see it. I thank God for it. And I just praise God for it, and I bless you for what you're doing. Sister Carmen, you didn't give me this verse, but the Lord did, and I think it's very appropriate. And I pray that it's a wonderful start to your Vacation Bible School. As you train your children, and as you learn too, you'll get a bigger blessing out of it than they will. God bless you for all your labor. Oh, Father in heaven, how blessed it is, and good and pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity, to labor together, to work together. You pour out your blessings as the dew falls upon the earth, oh God. You pour out your blessings on those who labor in love. Oh God, bless this people. Bless your people, oh God. Bless the week to begin this evening in Vacation Bible School. Let everyone involved, teacher, student, every laborer, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior this week. And may you get all honor and glory from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn, brethren. If you desire a home in the church this morning, come forward as we stand and sing. You'll be received any way the gospel authorizes.